Johnny Cash writes that song about, well, I figured out, I'm working in the plant, and over, I don't know how many years, I took a part here, I took a part there.
And the band is lunchbox.
Yeah.
49,
50, 51. Yeah, and, you know, he goes, and when I went to register it, the registration was so long because it was a Pontiac, and Oldsmobile, and this headlights, and all these parts, right? And it's a pretty humorous song. And my son, a lot of times, plays a playlist that's like old Johnny Cash songs. And
going up.
And
don't have to.
And he it was one of the songs where he talked about how why he'll never wear a collar until he gets to heaven, and that's why he wore black. And it was interesting because you know he really he I guess it was. You know, his opinion that, and because he's, you know, any one of us could be guilty of this because our lives are really black compared to God's glory. And that was an interesting song. Then I could kind of understand why Johnny Cash always wore black. You know, that was his, he wrote the song about it, you know. Yeah. And, because. And I guess, you know, if you lived a life like Johnny Cash, I'm sure he's got a few stories that belong in the graveyard, you know.
Like Jailbird, that one?
Well, yeah.
I don't know why I can't.
Salvation experience, how he went in that cave, what did when he coming out, really depressed, whatever. A bottle of whiskey in there. He went far back as he could without no light, sit down on a rock, and just drink that bottle of whiskey. Then he had second thoughts. What I don't want to do, God, I got all this stuff to live for, you know. And he said there was no way he could make it out of there. He didn't know where he was at. It was half his knockers. Yeah. So he prayed. He said, God, you get me out of here and I'll serve you the rest of my life. And he said, just then a little light. And then right after that, I opened that cave. He said, he was never the same after that.
Yeah, the heart's cry. You know, how many things you've felt like quitting or going a different direction or whatever, and you know, listen, I can, Lord, I can endure this, just help me get to the end, you know. I want to be, in the end of my life, I want to be found faithful, and nobody but you knows what I wrestle with. When I was a young man, I was really, I probably would have taken my own life, and it wasn't because I didn't have anything. I had everything.
It happened,
you know. Except the only thing that mattered.
Right.
I'm coming up to my 40th birthday, January 16th, 10:30 in the morning. And God has touched my life.
I don't work here.
I'm
spread them out across the whole.
Out of the book of Acts. we've been continuing our reading. And you know, as you continue to read in the Word of God, you find these areas that are just fantastic and a reminder of how good God really is. And it ends up with this two chapters here, but I'll read one. And chapter 12. Now about the time Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them, and he had James the brother of John put to death with a sword. That was one of the disciples. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. And now it was during the days of the feast of the unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. And on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side, roused him, Raul, get up, okay, roused him, get up quickly, oh gosh, right away, we're in trouble, right, and his chains fell off his hands, okay, and the angel said to him, gird yourself up, okay, pull up your clothes, they tie themselves up, and put on your sandals, and he did so, and he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, because he thought he was seeing a vision. I mean, like a dream, it was so real, yeah. It was a dream. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself, okay? And they went out and went along one street, and the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked on the door of the gate, the servant girl Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she didn't open the door and ran back and told him all about it. You know, hey, Peter's outside, you know?
He's still
and, and Peter continued knocking, and they were open, and they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led out of the prison. He said, report these things to James and the brethren, and he departed, went someplace else, because they knew. Peter knew that they're going to be looking for him. Now when the day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have become of Peter. When Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to be executed. Now probably somewhere between 16 and 18 guards were executed because Peter
left prison.
Left prison. he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. So Herod went and lost himself, because if anybody got word that this happened, he'd probably get in trouble. Now he was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and with one accord they came to him, having won over Blastus, the king's chamberlain. They were asking for peace, because their country was fed by the king's country. Hey, you know, don't cut off the hand of peace, right? Well, on an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them, and the people kept crying out, the voice of God and not of man. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory and he was eaten by worms and died. Kind of like an Ananias and Sapphira story. I mean, you know. Have you ever prayed a prayer and you wish you didn't pray it because maybe you asked for someone's demise? You know?
I don't ask for patience.
Well, again, yeah. Well, this was something, immediate judgment. And this is, to me, a warning. You know, to give God the glory, do the best that we can in whatever we do, no matter what. No matter what it is, do the best we can do. Because we have this little window of time. And, you know, when, you know, you get the phone call, I'm going to the funeral tomorrow, and I wish I could have spent a little more time with that lady. I spent 2 years with her visiting every Tuesday night. And if I get a chance to give glory to God, I'll share that story that the investment in people's lives is what we need to be about our Father's business. The servant attitude never gets old with God. Never. Challenge is, we have so many takers today, and they take, they think they deserve. And I'll tell you what, when you have that attitude, there'll come an end to it.
You want me to take that?
Because God has to deal with that attitude.
Thank you.
We are to serve one another. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied. And I, when the Lord comes, I want to be found faithful. You know, when you read the scriptures and you see most of the elderly men failed in their latter years. Why? I ask that question. What's going on? They knew that. They had the word. Why would they fail? You know, something has to, you know, click and stay faithful. And, you know, I don't know what happens. You know, all I know is the word. And guess what? I'm 63. I'm getting older.
Oh my God!
I don't want to spend.
Getting closer.
You're just a child.
Getting closer. That's what all my girlfriends tell me at the nursing home.
You're just a child.
One thing that always touched me is, you know, here it is, the Last Supper. Jesus is trying to impart to these men that he ain't gonna be with them no more, and all that they're gonna endure and everything. And what do? Get carnal and start talking about who's gonna be the greatest.
Yeah.
So Jesus just quietly gets up with a basin and a towel and shows him, you want to be great in God's kingdom? Learn to be a servant. That's just what you were sharing there about being a servant.
Especially men's feet, they're ugly.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Not the reason.
We don't pay for them.
That was a visual. God!
Why, are you thinking about your own feet?
No, mine aren't bad, but I've seen some ugly feet.
That's what you need to wash. Those are the ones you need to wash.
Amen. One of the reasons why older men fail is they forget about God. And they believe it's them that has done all these things.
Oh boy. They
always give God the glory in everything.
Well, that was the...
Boy, they're in for a rude awakening.
Well, the grace of God covers a multitude of sin, and you can fail in your old age, and you're headed for heaven. But I'm sure you lose reward, you know? And so what, I picture heaven, because when I die, I'm going to see Jesus face to face, and I'm going to see my son right next to him. And he's going to say, Dad, I knew you were coming today. Because he died right at birth. He would be 24 in February. And then the Bible talks about we go into the throne room of God, And it's a place where Jesus is sitting next to his father. And it talks about putting on an outer garment. I picture it like the robe that Joseph had, a coat of many colors. And like the military, you know, you have those colors that, you know, wow, you were there? You know, you were there?
Those are called ribbons.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
And so imagine your coat of many colors telling a story of who and what you did on earth. Because you were in war. And so how many people will come up to you and say, well, thank you. Thank you for leading me to the Lord. Thank you for encouraging me along the way. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for visiting me in prison. And as chaplains, we know that the prison bars go this way in the nursing home. They're right next to you. You can't get out of bed. Or you don't want to get out of bed. Or you have the legs missing. Or, you know, any number of things that could happen. When did we go and visit when you were in prison? And God's going to reveal these things along the way, because all of our cups are full, and most of the time of ourselves. And God wants to invade
full of ourselves.
God wants to invade that. And for you to share yourself with somebody. And that's really what Christmas is all about. You know, Jesus came and he shared himself with us, and he covered us completely. The grace of God, the blood of Jesus, has delivered us and kept us from past, present, and future sins. So even if you fail today, get up like you, as if you were on a trampoline, and start bouncing again. You know, and allow God then to do his work, not only in you, but how many people you encourage along the way because you've been encouraged. Let me just tell you what God did for me. You know, let me just tell you. You know, I don't know how God's going to work in your life, or we pray, or we ask somebody, you know, I wish I had the gift of healing. I'd empty my nursing home. You know, but that'd be the last visit they ever invited us to. As a matter of fact, they never invited us to begin with. Because it says no soliciting.
Well, are you soliciting?
In a way.
Yeah.
What is it when a righteous man, falls several times,
he gets
and
up.
Gets up, but
a wicked man falls and he perishes. And that word for perish is usually dying the second death, and which all of us are called, like it says, oh, you'll never die when you get born again and love Jesus, you know? It says you'll never die. Well, you'll never die the second death.
That's right.
Which is the, and that little, see, if you don't understand, if you don't read and see where and what that word really meant, you go, everybody dies? Was the Bible lying? So it was really a wrong interpretation of King James that didn't go far enough to explain the second death. And imagine if God, you die, and you come to see God, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. That's the second
just
death.
Just like what God told Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, and they didn't die instantly, but they were dead spiritually right then and there.
And that's what Jesus meant.
Yes.
He wants to be born.
Yes, absolutely.
He's got to be born spiritually.
And that, you know, like the Catholic Bible says, regeneration. So there's something that happens that puts a preeminence for Jesus in your life. Listen, you know, people say Romans Road, Sinner's Prayer. All I know is the thief on the cross said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Okay? And what did he say? But I wasn't baptized. But I wasn't confirmed. But I wasn't.
Right.
I didn't have a sprinkling or a tinkling. You know?
He said he made all those excuses. He just
said, it says, remember me. And so, so Jesus comes to people many, many ways. And but you know, to be in some sort of relationship to help people see that wherever you go. You know, I am convinced that it's not our job to go to work. Our job is to be at work and be available to share Christ with somebody along the way. You know, why did God bring you over here or over there, you know, to the VA or whatever? You know what? You go for pain, okay? But God has a bigger plan. So what was the guy telling me when I went to jail that one night, and he says, God sent you here to me? And I'm thinking,
could be done in
a better
way.
Okay.
Can we meet on the outside?
Yeah. But see, God is the one who cares for that big old black dude that was stuck in prison for whatever. Who knows how long he, but I share the gospel with him. And who knows, maybe it was his grandmother that shared with him, and he just was going the wrong way and got hung up on XYZ, and it doesn't even matter, you know, because, you know, but that, I'll never forget that. God sent you here to me.
And he did.
And so, you know,
that's Pastor Sam usually picks me up and brings me to, so I was up, I called him, he said, Mark, I'm not feeling good, I'm not going to be able to make it today. Yeah. So we talked, I said, okay. I hung up the phone, I was laying in the bed, and I was trying to go back to sleep. And God said, get up and go. You don't need nothing to take it from the man. Get up and go.
Okay.
And figured out how to get here. Yeah. And when I got here, God said, there was a gentleman sitting up front. God said, give him a dollar. I said, give him a dollar. So then when I got out, I went over there and I gave it. He looked at it. He said, what is this for? I said, God told me to give it to you.
So
how did he look at it and he took it? He said, thank you. I said, no, thank you. You came. I'm trying to be obedient. I'm starting to
listen.
Yes.
That's what he's teaching you, believe it or not. He's teaching you to listen.
Well, that's what I'm starting to do. Well, that's what I wanted to share, and I am starting to listen.
There's a little ditty song I sang in 1983. When I was in Israel, I think I sang it for the first time, and it went like this. Listen to his voice, he is speaking to you. Listen to his voice, he is calling for you. Listen to his voice, Jesus' voice is speaking unto you. He said, I am the way unto the Father. I am the way, there is no other. I am the way, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Listen, his voice, he is speaking to you. Listen to his voice, he is calling for you. Listen to his voice, Jesus' voice is speaking unto you.
Always speaking, but all you always listen.
Yes, sir.
You can't
get me easier.
It's getting easier.
But you know, we usually rush into the throne room and want
to tell them.
Yeah, just blab a bunch of stuff.
Yes, sir.
You gotta really sit there and be quiet.
That's it.
Egypt, Scott, how are you? Scott, how are you today? Tell me what's troubling you. What's your concern? You know what I mean?
He's got no trouble.
You want me to pray for
him? Yeah.
No, not as we see trouble, right. but there's got to be some things that burden his heart. He sees his church not going the right way to go. Sees people that should know by now still making the wrong choices.
Me?
Yeah, I'm definitely talking about me. I'm not the only one that anybody else.
He just said something to me at the table, and it was, we'll inherit everything. But what he said is, we don't know what everything is.
No. And probably if you did, you'd run the other way.
No, we'd crack and crawl to try to get there, probably. But.
I've been reading Revelations lately. There's going to be a lot to do.
A whole lot to do.
What would you do if you never got tired?
What would you do?
Never had to sleep.
Never had to, you know, go down, so to speak. And never got tired. And that's what our new body is going to be like, you know? I mean, no beds in heaven, no wheelchairs.
Wait a second.
Crutches.
I
want to
lay down once in a while.
You won't need to work till midnight, got home, ate a little something, took a shower, lay down a little after morning, and I was up before 5 in the morning. Rehabbing that mobile home.
Yeah.
For somebody.
Yeah, well, yeah. Speaking of rehabbing mobile home.
You're wasting an excellent talent.
He don't want to work on a beer can. Those things you got to fix with chewing gum and scotch tape, man. You can't.
Well, that mobile home put together with real thin wood. Unbelievable. I've lived in one. They don't make them that well.
I had to rehab one for my first wife to sell when we was going to get married. That's what I learned about working on it.
One of the things you read there that always fascinated me was that who was the first one to die? James. And I go, he's one of the inner three. He was always with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration when he raised the child from the dead. He was always one of the chosen three. And yet, first one to go was James. It's kind of odd. You know, he was built up to be like Peter and John. Big leaders in the church, but God chose him to be the first.
And it was what about Steph?
Well, I mean, first one of the disciples.
Yeah.
Herod was such a crazed man. I mean, you can imagine if
he did.
I mean, you know, and I tell a story of a lady who discovered her husband was cheating on her for 14 years. She kicked them out of the house. Okay. And within 6 months, it come down with rot of the whole lower part. So bad that it was falling out. And his girlfriend kicked him out.
Sure.
Guess who took him back? His wife took him back and allowed him, changed his dressing and allowed him to die in her home. Gracious. And that was my first example. Now, she was a Catholic woman, right? But she was my first example, really, of seeing the gospel in action. Because that man didn't deserve it. That man deserved his guts falling out.
Oh, I got gravy.
But she took him back. Thank you, Jesus. Father, that we would just have hearts like that for wherever we go, whatever we do. We will be found faithful when you come for us. We don't know when you come for us. We any day. Brain aneurysm can shut the lights off in a second. And we can just be in your presence. Help us, Lord, to be faithful as we wait for your coming. Help us to help those around us who are hurting, troubled, we would have words of life for them. Bless us, Lord, as we travel today. Go forward. Give it past to Sam. Bless him and his wife. Lord, help him. Touch him. In Jesus Christ, precious name.
Father, we're all just one heartbeat, one breath away from eternity. And let us be aware of everyone around us coming contact where they know you or not, in the exact same boat. We're all one breath, one heartbeat away from you.
Are you wrong?
So let us be quick to do your good.
We'll
let people know the good news. That you love them, you die for them, and you want to live. We just thank you that you entrust that to us, that we can touch people's lives.